Hello, Eagle Country, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time. I'm your host, Double T, Travis Thayer. 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation on your way, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, conveniently located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need. You can go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at orthosensi.com. That is orthosensi.com. Fun show lined up for you tonight. Excited to release our 2021 high school football broadcast schedule. We're going to get to that in just a few moments. To start out the show, though, a little programming note. Next week, June 14th to be exact, right at this time, we'll be welcoming on the Lawrenceburg High School girls tennis team. Unfortunately, their season did come to an end in the semi-state about a week ago. But still a phenomenal season for those young ladies. We want to bring them on the show to highlight all their successes and see what's next for the seniors on that team, see who's coming back to lead the team next season, and so forth and so on. We'll have a great conversation with the Lady Tigers tennis team. Looking forward to that next week. So without further ado, we can get into the show tonight and see who is making headlines. And I want to start by talking about a young man from Lawrenceburg High School who is blazing a trail on the football field. There's certainly going to be a football theme to this evening show. Yes, football season is still a little bit away, but it will be here before you know it. August 20th will be the first high school football weekend of the season in Indiana, less than 80 days away. The countdown is on here at Eagle Country 99.3. But anyways, Ashton Craig is a well-known name, or should be, around these parts, as he is a three-star offensive line prospect who has multiple Division I offers. If you have ever seen Ashton play, he certainly stands out on the field because of his stature, 6'4", 6'5", range. I'm not sure what he's weighing nowadays because he's probably put on some weight, some muscle in the offseason. I'm going to ballpark it somewhere in the 275 range, I would think, somewhere approximately. But for Ashton Craig, he is one of 25 Indiana prep stars to grace the cover of the 2021 Indiana Football Digest. Now, each year, this magazine selects the primetime 25 standout football players to be featured on their cover, and Ashton Craig certainly fitting the bill with the several D1 offers that he does have. And I want to list them all off for you because it's a really impressive list. There's Big Ten teams, there's SEC teams, ACC teams. I don't know that he stretched far enough out west to garner some of the Pac-12 teams, but I do believe a Big 12 team or two is in there as well. So you have Iowa, Nebraska, Northwestern, obviously some big names in the Big Ten. Vanderbilt, there's your SEC school. Air Force is after him. Ball State, Baylor, there's your Big 12. Boston College from the ACC, Central Michigan, Cincinnati, hometown team perhaps, Columbia, Duke, Eastern Michigan, Florida State, Indiana, Iowa State, Miami of Ohio, Purdue, Toledo, Tulane, Wake Forest, Western Michigan, and yes, Yale have all offered Ashton Craig. And that is a impressive list for a young man that still has a full senior season to go. So, again, bulking up in the weight room, even more so improved play on the field. Not that he's been bad. Obviously, he's been very good to get those type of interest from D1 schools. But I'm sure Ashton is going to want to see some bigger name schools on that list before his senior season is done. And I have no doubt he's going to pick up some more offers before it's all said and done. But according to 24/7 Sports, Ashton Craig has lined up some visits that he's going to be enjoying here sometime soon. Iowa, Nebraska, Northwestern, and Vanderbilt among those that he has apparently scheduled visits to. So you got the three Big Ten schools. Obviously, Ashton is a very good student in the classroom, garnering interest from the likes of Yale and Duke and Columbia, some of these schools that are really well known for their academics. Of the schools that he's going to apparently go visit, Northwestern and Vanderbilt, those are very, very good schools, just kind of looking at it from the academic standpoint. Northwestern has turned themselves into a very good good football program under Pat Fitzgerald as well. I think that would be a very interesting landing spot for Ashton Craig. And that's no disrespect to Iowa and Nebraska. I'm sure their academics are great there as well. But those two schools may be more so known for their football than their academics. Maybe not so much Nebraska anymore. Used to be a big-time blue blood heavyweight in the college football ranks, specifically back in the 90s. Not so much of a power program anymore, but certainly a team with some name recognition. But anywhere you slice it, Ashton could pick any one of the schools that is on his list, and that is going to be a phenomenal accomplishment. And I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit more about Ashton as we roll along, because we are going to be announcing our 2021 high school football broadcast schedule coming up in just a bit. But this is a mighty impressive young man, and we are sure that list of D1 offers is going to grow during his senior season, which starts on Friday, August 20th, when Lawrenceburg hosts East Central. So there you go. There's our opening game of the season. We will be there to call that one. More on that particular game coming up in just a bit. Next up on Who's Making Headlines, we want to go to South Dearborn High School and recognize one of their swimming stars, Holly Kramer, recently signing her letter of intent to swim for Ashland University. We try to keep up as best as we possibly can with all of the college signings from the student athletes in the area. Holly, one of the most recent to announce her college declaration, and Ashland University, D2, so a very great accomplishment for Holly to go on and continue her athletic and academic career. She was a four-year letter winner at South Dearborn, four-time swim MVP. She was the EIAC MVP this past season and a two-time all-conference selection. So certainly has been well accomplished in the pool. We believe she's going to do some great things at Ashland University, and not only in the pool, but in the classroom as well. We want to emphasize that student part of student athlete, and Holly Kramer, a great student, earning a 4.1 GPA during her time at South Dearborn and graduated fifth in her class. Absolutely phenomenal accomplishment. We congratulate Holly on her fantastic high school career, both in the classroom and in the pool, and wish her nothing but the best moving forward as she will go on to swim at Ashland University. You can read more over at EagleCountryOnline.com. And it's been a little while since we've been able to talk some high. I know the next season is still well off in the distance. Haven't even really got through the spring sports season in its entirety. But we do have several student athletes from Eagle Country that are going to be participating in the 19th annual IBCA Top 100 Underclass Showcase. It's going to take place June 18th and 19th at Ben Davis High School in the Circle City. And this is going to give exposure to 242 of the top basketball prospects from across the state. So the math doesn't actually add up with the top 100. It's more like the top 120 or 122, because 122 boys will participate. 120 girls, excuse me, have been invited to the event. Sessions will include individual skill stations. They'll also play a lot of scrimmages as well. So this is a really great experience for some of our local high school basketball stars to go out and play against the best players in the state of Indiana. A chance to get better for sure. And on the girls' side of things, they will compete at this showcase on June 18th. The East Central duo of Hope Fox and Josie Trable expected to participate at this girls' underclass showcase. Their head coach, Kevin Moore, also expected to be on hand. He's going to be one of 19 coaches that will make up the girls' coaching staff. But going back to Hope Fox and Josie Trable, they have been a nightmare for area teams over the past couple of seasons. Hope is going into her senior season. Josie will be a junior. Josie Trable's already been an all-state player. Hope Fox is that same type of caliber player. These two are probably one of the best scoring duos in the state. And they will get a chance to prove that once again, one last time together, as Hope Fox will be graduating after this next season. But these two, I'm sure, are going to do great at the showcase, and this is going to be an opportunity for them to play in front of a lot of college coaches. I'm sure both of these young ladies have aspirations of continuing their playing days at the collegiate level, and this is just another step towards that goal. Now, looking at this team over the last couple of seasons, The Lady Trojans went 19-5 this past season, won the sectional championship for the second year in a row, had the pleasure of calling the semifinal and championship game in St. Leon back in February. The semifinal was perhaps the game of the year, at least in terms of what we had from our broadcast standpoint in high school sports this last calendar year as they played Martinsville. A double overtime game. EC pulls it out 68-62. I think everybody remembers the big moments from Josie Trable, Lainey Baker coming up big in the waning moments of that game, as well as they continued to battle back and forth, and then finally sealing it in that second overtime. And then they go on to play Columbus North the night later, a team that they have never beaten in program history, and it was a defensive battle. They get the win 38-29 to win that sectional championship for a second consecutive season. They would fall by 1 point in the regional to Bedford North Lawrence, who's been a little bit of a thorn in their side over the past couple of seasons, but this program has been absolutely phenomenal. Kevin Moore does a great job entering his 13th season, I believe. In the 2019-2020 season, they won a school record 23 games, went on to the regional championship where they would again lose to Bedford North Lawrence. This is a team that they're going to have circled on their schedule this year. Hopefully they play them in the regular season and get a chance to play them in the regional again, because third time might be the charm for this East Central Lady Trojans team. And we know that they have Hope Fox and Josie Trable coming back, and those are going to be two girls that they lean on heavily. They will miss Kyla Maxwell, Charson McCory, some of those seniors, Emma Ertle, that were moving on to college. But they do have plenty of talent coming back this season. I mentioned Lainey Baker. She was a player that really stepped up last season and provided some good minutes off the bench. You think that she might be trending towards a starting role. Julia Tiemann played really well for them last year as well. Ashley Nobby, a pretty solid player, and the list goes on and on. They're going to have some newer names that maybe some aren't as familiar with in the area that will step up, but just knowing Coach Moore and the way he runs his program, they have several girls that have been in the gym already this spring and into the summer that are going to be improving their game. So we have no doubt that they're in for another big winning season, and it all starts with the dynamic duo of Hope Fox and Josie Trable that are going to compete at that underclass showcase on June 18th. Now, on the boys' side of things, June 19th, Ben Davis High School, South Dearborn's Eli Hoffman, Lawrenceburg's Jackson Bobo, South Ripley's Nick Schwarty, Franklin County's Chad Cox, and Greensburg's Colin Comer will be participating or are expected to participate in the underclass showcase. And if my memory serves me correctly, I believe all of these young men will be seniors heading into this next season. And to start with Eli Hoffman, say some nice things about him. He has been starring for the South Dearborn Knights for the last couple of years as one of the premier scorers in the area, and he can score it from anywhere on the floor. A good outside shooter, plays a little mid-range game, and I really like the way he is able to score around the basket as well. He really is a triple threat on the offensive side. He's a playmaker, unselfish. He will look for his teammates. He's not one of those guys that's going to go out and shoot the ball 20, 23 times a game to get 20 points. It's not the type of player Eli is. He's a very efficient offensive scorer, and he's hard-nosed on the defensive end as well. Really an all-around player, and he has been a joy to watch over the last couple of seasons. Fairly certain he's going to average somewhere in the ballpark of 15, 16 points per game, if not 20 points per game as a senior. He's got that type of talent, and South Dearborn does have a fair amount of talent coming back this season. The Willoughby brothers will be back, Reese and Ryan, both of those players. I love watching them play. Ryan, he will absolutely get up in you, defend you. He is maybe a little under the radar on offense, but we saw him have a huge game against Lawrenceburg in the sectional semifinals this past year. I mean, he's one of those guys that kind of quietly goes about his business, but can really get you double digits on any given night. Reese Willoughby, last year, probably his best year as a varsity player, really showed an ability to score the ball from all levels, similar to his teammate Eli Hoffman. So that's going to kind of be the big three for South Dearborn going into this next season. I really liked what I saw from Brody Teake. Mikey, Toby's younger brother, at the JV level, played a little bit of varsity. Really, that JV team had quite a few players that look like they are capable of making a jump to the varsity level and really helping out that team for Coach Matthew Colston heading into this next season. But we'll start with Eli Hoffman. He is kind of the go-to guy there on the offensive side of things, and we expect him to have a very, very big senior year. And this is, again, like Hope Fox, Josie Trable, and the rest of the fellows that are going to be participating at this underclass showcase, a good opportunity to get in front of some college scouts, college coaches, whatever you want to call it, and just further his case to go play college basketball. Now, moving down the list, Lawrenceburg's Jackson Bobo. This is a really intriguing college prospect if you want to look at it from that angle. He certainly has a good size to him. Needs to add some muscle, you would think, but at 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", whatever they list him at, probably 6'8", with his shoes on. He's got the height. He's got an intriguing game. He can score at all levels as well. I think he is becoming an improved jump shooter as he goes along. I really like his passing ability, especially out of the high post. He and Ashton Craig really work a nice two-man game for Coach Cutter's Lawrenceburg Tigers. But defensively, he is a shot blocker extraordinaire. He has improved as a rebounder. He was basically a double-double guy last year, and much more consistent in his junior season as he was as a sophomore and a freshman playing at the varsity level. But Jackson certainly has some room to still grow going into his senior season as a basketball player, and this is another step for him to take to improve his game and really become a big-time star as a senior. He does have that potential. So I'll be really interested to hear how Jackson does at this underclass showcase. And one thing that I want to go back to is the day after they lost to South Dearborn in the sectional this past season, there was photos surfacing on Twitter of Jackson in the gym the next morning working on his game. So we know that he is a young man that wants to be a really, really good basketball player and is putting in the time and effort to do so. So I love that about him, and happy that he's going to be participating in this showcase and get a chance to get better playing against some of the best players in the state. Nick Schwarty from South Ripley, I've gotten a chance to see him play a handful of times over the past couple of years, and he's kind of been out of the spotlight a little bit for South Ripley, considering they've had Cody Samples there as the all-time leading scorer. Jaden Peets was a big-time player for them as well, so he sometimes maybe took a little bit of a backseat to those players who are now graduating, but it looks like it might be his show coming up this year. Very talented player. He's another one that can score kind of at all levels, a very gifted shooter. Got some good size, can score around the basket, play through traffic, get himself to the foul line. He's going to be a important part of this team for South Ripley moving forward. They do have Zach Gentile coming back as well. So those two in particular will have to lead a little bit of a younger team than they have had in recent memory, but still a lot of talent there for this Raiders team heading into next season. And it's all going to start with Schwarty. Chad Cox, one of the premier scorers in the area for Franklin County, a 20-point-per-game type scorer, can really fill it up. And Colin Comer is very similar from Greensburg. Those two individuals going to have a chance to compete at this showcase as well. If you want to read up a little bit more about the IBCA Top 100 Underclass Showcase, you can head over to EagleCountryOnline.com. You are listening to Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Learn more about their services at OrthoSensi.com. Remember, Sensi is spelled with a Y. So without further ado, it is time to release our 2021 high school football broadcast schedule. And if you're wondering, why are you releasing this on June 7th? We're still plenty of weeks away from that first high school football game. Well, the anticipation has just kind of eaten me up inside. And I've had this high school football broadcast schedule saved on my desktop for several weeks now. This is something I just did when I had some downtime a few weeks ago. And I just can't wait any longer. I want to share this information out, and I hope people are as excited about it as we are. We love getting out to all the area high schools and calling these games, and the way I kind of go about doing this is we certainly want to make sure we are highlighting the four area teams that we follow the most in high school football. That would be East Central, Lawrenceburg, South Dearborn, and Milan. And we try to get them on the schedule as much as possible. We're also looking at the biggest, most meaningful, impactful games, whether it's a rivalry, a conference game, or just a game on a particular week that we think is going to be a very, very good game for our listeners to enjoy. So without further ado, on Friday, August 20th, we've already mentioned it a couple times. The cat was actually out of the bag several weeks ago when Jake Miners and some of his senior football players came through. But the East Central Trojans going to travel to Lawrenceburg to take on the Tigers on Friday, August 20th. That will be a 7 o'clock start, and this has been our kickoff game for the past several years. There was a period of time where East Central and Lawrenceburg did not play each other, and once they started playing each other again, it was a no-doubter to have that game on the schedule. And the way Lawrenceburg's program has been over the past several years, they have been able to be competitive with East Central, still looking to get over the hump and get that elusive win, which they haven't had since, I believe, sometime in the 90s, if my memory serves me correct. But this is going to be a game that should be a fantastic one to start the season. We already talked a little bit about Ashton Craig and how many eyeballs are going to be on him this season. Garrett Yoon going into his senior year, a four-year starter for the Tigers. Dia Patel, that's kind of the big three for that Lawrenceburg team. In talking to Jake Miners, the head coach of the East Central Trojans not too long ago, there's going to be some newer names that you're going to be hearing for East Central coming up this season, but they never rebuild. They reload out in St. Leon, and we expect them to be just as good as they have always been year in and year out. So that is a fantastic way to start our season. Friday, August 27th, week two, East Central will be featured again. This time they will be the home team, as they welcome in the Harrison Wildcats. Now, this is the War of I-74. Did not happen last year because of COVID. Indiana teams playing Ohio teams, it wasn't as easy logistically to have that happen. So, unfortunately, we didn't get to have that game last year, which is always one of the biggest games on our schedule. And I would imagine that this atmosphere is going to be even better than it has been in recent memory because everyone lost this game last year. So this is one everybody gets fired up for anyways. There's probably going to be a little bit of an additional amount of adrenaline running through everybody's body for this game, not only players and coaches, but the fans and students in the stands as well. That should be a fantastic atmosphere. Week three, Friday, September 3rd, our first look at the South Dearborn Knights. They will play host to the Batesville Bulldogs. Will not be a conference game as they're on separate sides of the EIAC, but an intriguing matchup, should be a very good ball game. When I look at South Dearborn this year, I'm looking right at quarterback Logan Tease. Played pretty good as a sophomore last year, going to be coming in as the incumbent at quarterback, and when he was awarded the quarterback job last year, won out over Reese Willoughby, who moved to wide receiver to better exploit his talents. But Logan, they thought that this was a kid that's going to be able to kind of have the same maturation progress as Adam Dixon once had, and Coach Ballard and his staff believe that by the time Logan graduates as a senior, he's going to be putting up some Adam Dixon type numbers. So this could be a season where you see him have a huge jump statistically and really stamp down some star status. You could certainly see that in him last year at times. It will also be interesting to see how South Dearborn restocks their defensive line after losing Bryce Valdez, Austin Ashcraft, Dalton Hatfield to graduation. Those three were absolutely outstanding. But if you follow South Dearborn football, Ram Ballard and his staff, they hang their hat on being a strong defensive team, and certainly there's going to be some young men stepping up into those roles and starring for the Knights in 2021. Moving on to Week 4, Friday, September 10th, we will be featuring the Lawrenceburg Tigers on the road at Greensburg. This has been a series that has been played fairly close, maybe not so much the last couple of years, but if you look previous to that, pretty much every time these two teams met, it was a score or less that decided the game. And this is a big one in the 3A side of the division in the EIAC. So we'll be out in Greensburg on week four for the Tigers game. Friday, September 17th, week five, We are bringing back our fan choice game of the week. We are going to let you vote on the game that you would like us to broadcast that week. The options are Franklin County at Lawrenceburg. That is a sectional championship rematch from last season. South Dearborn at Greensburg, East Central at Batesville, or Milan on the road at New Miami. Milan's schedule looking a lot different this year as they will not be in the Mid-Indiana conference. So they're going to play New Miami out of Ohio. That's a very intriguing game. I might say, hey, throw a couple votes Milan's way. That would be a fun one to call for sure. But we'll leave it up to the fans. On Friday, September 24th, week six of the regular season, South Dearborn on the road at East Central. We this game, big clash on the 4A side of the EIAC. And again, for South Dearborn, they're in a similar situation to Lawrenceburg, where they are looking for that elusive win over East Central. And if they are going to get that this year, they'll have to do it in St. Leon, which is a very, very tough place to play. The following week, Friday, October 1st, we'll have South Dearborn on the radio once again as they will welcome in Franklin County. And this is another big game for South Dearborn. Back-to-back weeks, they have to play a game in the 4A division of the EIAC. Franklin County certainly has a lot of talent. I'm looking at Bridger Bolos, Jacob Schatzel leading the way. Those are explosive playmakers. Won't have to deal with Hunter Tashane anymore, one of the fastest kids I've ever seen play high school football as he graduated this year. But a big-time game for South Dearborn. That will be on the turf in Aurora. Friday, October 8th, the second-to-last regular season game, Milan will host Greensburg. Again, no Mid-Indiana football conference anymore. So Milan's going to kind of step up in competition. They want to play some more EIAC teams, teams that are going to be a little bit more challenging for them to beat so that they are more readily prepared for the sectional when it comes around. So I think this can be beneficial to Milan if you see a couple more losses on their schedule this year. It's not necessarily a bad thing. I know you want to win every single game, but their goal is to win a sectional championship and even move on further than that. And playing a stronger regular season will allow them to potentially accomplish those goals. So that should be a fun matchup against Greensburg. We'll be there on October 8th. And then, of course, the big finale of the regular season. You already know where we're going with this one because it's where we're at every year. Friday, October 15th, South Dearborn traveling the short trip down US 50 to tangle with the Lawrenceburg Tigers. And we've already talked about both teams a little bit. That one speaks for itself. Maybe the biggest rivalry on the schedule and a big bragging rights game to end the season and build momentum going into sectional play. So we will have the high school football broadcast schedule posted for you over at EagleCountryOnline.com. Just a couple more minutes left in the show, and I want to get to a couple double T's takes real quick. Just two things I want to get to, and I'll be brief as possible. First off, the bad behavior that has been seen at professional sporting events, fights in the stands, fans throwing items at the athletes, fans verbally abusing the athletes, or verbally abusing their family members that are in the stands. A lot of the issues have happened in the NBA. The fights, those have been happening in MLB stadiums for some reason. There's a lot of things that I could say on this issue. That would be a whole other podcast. I just want to say something real quick. Just don't be that person. It's as simple as that. It's really not that difficult to go to a game, cheer for the team you like, and when the game's over, win or lose, you go home. Doesn't really impact your life that much unless you let it. I'm an FC Cincinnati season ticket holder, and they have barely won a handful of games over the 3 years they've been in the MLS. I continue to go to the games. Root for the team. When they win, it's awesome. When they lose, I might be bummed out for a little bit, but still had a pretty good day. And finally, I just wanted to talk about LeBron James very briefly. For the first time in his NBA career, he and whatever team he was on was bounced from the NBA playoffs in the first round. Had been 14-0 in first round series throughout his career until the Phoenix Suns knocked them off this past Thursday. A phenomenal effort by Devin Booker and his Phoenix Suns. Devin was particularly good in games 5 and 6, former UK star. And the Phoenix Suns were just simply the better team here. No excuses to be made for the Los Angeles Lakers, even with Anthony Davis hurt. LeBron maybe not at full strength, but the rest of the team, the supporting cast, I don't know that I've ever seen a supporting cast play worse in a first-round series. They barely had anybody that could score the ball. They just were not the better team. But My point here with this double T take is this does not put any type of black eye on LeBron James's legacy. This is still one of the all-time great basketball players you will ever see. I'm not here to talk about rankings. Not going to say he's the GOAT. Not going to say that he isn't. That's a debate for a different day with a different person. Not me. I don't debate that anymore. I don't care who your favorite player is, because that's all the greatest of all time debate really comes down to, is who you like or who you prefer the most. But LeBron James, a four-time NBA champion, a million-time All-Star, MVP of the league, his accolades go on and on and on and on and on. Might be the all-time leading scorer before his career is over, but I just want to say this. He's definitely on the back nine of his playing career. Might be on the final few holes, to use that analogy a little bit further. I don't think that he needs to win another championship to cement any type of legacy. It is already there. What I want to do is just appreciate LeBron James while we have him, because he is going to be retiring from this game sometime in the very near future. And from everything I've seen on social media over his career, there have been a lot of folks out there that have not taken time to appreciate his greatness, and it must be tough to play in the social media era, where you are scrutinized about absolutely everything. But this kid came straight out of high school, had the weight of the world on his shoulders to be this megastar, and he, if not exceeded expectations, at least has met them. And he might do something else great in his career before it's all said and done. His oldest son, Bronny James, still in high school, but a few years away from potentially making a jump to the pros, and it will be a very, very cool thing to see. Perhaps LeBron and Bronny James playing in the same NBA, whether they're on the same team or competing against each other. That is maybe the biggest goal left for LeBron James to complete in his illustrious NBA career. Don't hate, appreciate. That was the final double T's take on this edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Appreciate you listening into the show. As always, next week, the Lawrenceburg Lady Tigers tennis team joins me on Crunch Time right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.